presented by the Esports Research Network and the Media Management and Transformation Center in Jönköping, Sweden.
Hi, welcome to the Esports Research Report. I'm Steph Orm from Emmanuel College in Boston in the United States.
And I'm Brian McCauley here in Sweden at the Media Management and Transformation Center in the city of DreamHack, Jönköping. Our guest today is a PhD student who is actually the reverse of me. I did my PhD in Australia and I'm Irish, and he is an Australian doing his PhD in Ireland. So welcome, Tim Smithies. Can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I fucked up the whole thing. I completely forgot. We start with her, then we do me, and then we do you, and then we leave it on you. Like, I swear to God, that's it. That's it.
You were drinking on the job. 2 minutes ago. 2 minutes ago, you were saying that wasn't a drink, and now you're blaming it on that much.
I'm not. I'm actually saying. I'm saying that's all I had. It's not that.
Oh, okay.
It's not that. It's my CSGO reflexes are so sharp. No, bullshit. All right, we'll start again. We don't have to end the blog. I can cut it out. Steph is awful. You can hear she farts during the broadcasts. We might put that part out as well. We have to edit that out.
You're the worst. I hate you. All right. Okay. Ready? All right.
Okay, go.
Hi, welcome to the Esports Research Report. I'm Steph Orm from Emmanuel College in Boston in the United States.
And I'm Brian McCauley here in the Media Management and Transformation Center in Jönköping, the city of DreamHack here in Sweden. And our guest today is an Australian doing his PhD in Ireland, which is the reverse of me, an Irish person doing my PhD in Australia. So welcome, Tim Smithies, and tell us what you're doing in Ireland right now.
Hi guys. Thanks for having me, Steph. Thanks for having me, Brian. Thanks for the introduction as well. As you said, I'm over here in Ireland currently. I'm at University of Limerick, doing my PhD here.
Okay, so why is an Australian person doing in Ireland? What brought you to Ireland?
Dunno. I really the weather's rubbish. I came across the Esports Science Research Lab here at the University of Limerick, would have been 3 years ago, I'm guessing. I saw a Twitter post from, I'm not too sure who, I can't remember, just talking about it, I guess, and I was finishing my honours degree in Australia, and I kind of had the idea that I'm currently pursuing now. Back then, this would have been 2017, I came across this Twitter post, looked a bit more into the research that Mark Campbell and Adam Toth were doing here, and yeah, I had it in my head for about a year as a possibility of research to do. I went over to Canada, did a working holiday there, and then realized, geez, I want to pursue some studies, so contacted them. It all kind of went well, very very nice and friendly. Kind of put in a PhD application. Very lucky to get it, and yeah, here I am.
Okay, so before we ask you more about the lab, just we have a very simple first question: is what is your personal definition of esports?
Sure. Mine would be competitive, organized video games. Nothing more, nothing less. Try to keep it simple.
Oh, that's fair enough. That's the basic definition by most standards. I mean, some people like to look at it from different angles, but I kind of agree with you there that's the easiest way to put it across to people. So I think the next question is, what can you tell us about the Liro Esports Science Research Lab?
I got here kind of September last year, and from my understanding or from what I know beforehand, they've done quite a lot of research, especially in kind of looking at the cognitive profile of elite esport athletes. There's various other very interesting research topics going on here, but that has kind of been a center point, is understanding kind of what makes the pros elite. So that's kind of been a focal point of the research here. But no, there's so Mark Campbell and Adam Toth are kind of running the show, and then we've got a few research assistants here that again, yeah, there's some very interesting research of kind of many different realms happening here, but it's all centered around that overall goal of understanding what makes the elite players elite.
And so what is your PhD in specifically, like area wise?
Sure. My PhD would be looking at the effects of sleep, in particular sleep loss, on esports performance for elite esport athletes. So there's many different facets to that to unpack. But that would be the basic answer to that, yeah.
I mean, so I had a bad day at CSGO yesterday, but I didn't sleep well the night before. I mean, would that be a huge factor in what happened to me, or apart from the toxic teammates I got in matchmaking?
There you go. It could be. We simply don't know. There's no research to date that looks at sleep or quantifies sleep and then looks at esports performance specifically. There's quite a lot of research out, particularly in the last 20 to 30 years, that has looked at kind of cognitive performance, be it using standardized cognitive testing within the context of various occupations as well, be it pilots, military, also in traditional sports. And that gives us a good idea as to how we think esports performance would be affected. But we simply don't know to tell you the truth. So that's kind of the exciting and a little bit scary area, background to the research I'm doing.
I think that's really interesting, the idea of having traditional sports, or like you said, pilots, right? Airline pilots, even, to look at as sort of a proxy. What is the research, you know, on that area specifically found in relation to the link between sleep and their kind of performance? And how do you think that might inform your exploration of esports players?
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. I've recently, the group, the research group here, as well as we've got a couple of other researchers. There's a colleague in Australia and a researcher, senior researcher in the States as well. We've actually recently performed a systematic review of exactly kind of that literature. So we've looked at what we've deemed as elite cognitive performers. These are individuals in those kind of occupations, such as pilots, such as military. And the criteria for these elite cognitive performers is that their occupation has tasks in it that are very cognitively demanding. And then secondly, the kind of safety critical or critical outcomes, the fact that screwing up as a pilot can have very dire consequences. Making a mistake as an elite athlete, while it's not the same as, say, a pilot, there's unlikely to have human lives involved. One simple mistake can cost an opportunity at a tournament, cost employment opportunity, and so on. So kind of looking at those individuals, we've recently performed a systematic review on that topic. And the findings are very interesting. The key findings were that on very simple, kind of monotonous, boring, low salience tasks, performance was affected by sleep restriction. That's a key kind of point, is that we looked at acute sleep restriction. So not overnight total sleep deprivation, I'm not sleeping at all over the night, but it's more I'm losing sleep over the course of one or multiple nights. And so if that happens, very low salience, very monotonous tasks seem especially sensitive to that. They seem to be adversely affected. And as well, tasks in which the kind of dynamic changes throughout. So tasks requiring a high cognitive flexibility load. Tasks that change a lot throughout, they also seem to be, they could be affected, but they're simply not really enough research on there to give a kind of conclusive answer. Those two are in contrast to kind of more complex tasks, but kind of stable tasks at the same time, if that makes sense. And those tasks seem like we're actually quite good at adapting to, or those elite cognitive performers are actually quite good at adapting and kind of maintaining performance in those tasks whilst after following sleep restriction. So that's a very interesting finding, and that definitely has implications for esports.
I mean, so if we're on a flight and our captain says, "Hello, this is your captain," whoa! I mean, should we panic? Or is autopilot? I mean, they have autopilot, right? And a co-pilot.
Maybe I wouldn't panic. I mean, there's always a few of them in there. They have autopilot.
Yeah,
pilot. Okay, but plane safety rates are very, very good. I wouldn't panic.
Yeah, I don't like flying, though. I know that logic, but I hate flying. So I'm okay with conferences being cancelled for a while. from that perspective. Okay, so you've done this literature review, or you've looked at all the science, right? So that's the first sort of step in the process of your PhD. And what are you kind of going to do next? How does this work? Because I wouldn't have a clue. Most people come and tell me at their PhD, they go, "Oh, I know what you're going to do. You're going to do this. You're going to do this." I could predict it, or predict a couple of options. With yours, I wouldn't have the foggiest what way you're actually going to do this. Are you going to, you know, poke people while they sleep and all night, and then get them to do stuff? Or how does this work? I mean, it's really experiential, like lab sort of experimental stuff, right?
Yeah, there's a couple of different avenues that we got going on here. So firstly, we've acquired quite a few what are called ready bands. These are wrist-worn actigraphy monitors. They're kind of like a Fitbit, for example. But these are, I guess, more research specialized, used quite frequently in mining, oil and gas, military, and in traditional sports settings as well. And these are sleep trackers, so they're wearable devices you wear on your wrist, and they do monitor sleep. And that's the first kind of aspect there is to understand how our top level esport athletes actually sleeping in the first place. If they're sleeping perfectly fine and everything's great, then great, there's no problem there. We don't think that's the case, and there's a lot of anecdotal evidence, and there is starting to be some kind of some evidence in the scientific literature as well that is suggesting that that's not the case. There's a researcher in Australia as well, Daniel Bonner, who's doing similar lines of work, and he's had some very interesting findings as well. So we know that that's probably not the case, but the first step really is to understand how are esport athletes sleeping in the first place. That would be the very first line. From there, I guess you look at those particular, if they are sleeping poorly in any kind of way, then we go on to, okay, how does that specifically affect their performance? But the first step is to understand how these athletes are sleeping in the first place.
I mean, you know, the recommendation for sleeping is don't go near blue light, like don't be on your phone before you sleep, all that sort of stuff. And I know talking to professional teams and managers and stuff that they tell me their training regime up to a tournament and my jaw will drop and they go, "Oh, I have 14-hour days in the lead up to this." And I'm going, no, you're not. You're messing with me. You can't do that. You know, and that's an astonishingly large amount. We have all the people researching exercise and stuff as well, but that's a lot of blue light coming at you. That's a lot of mental energy being burned as well, you know, that will go through it. I mean, do you account for their kind of training regimes or how much screen time? Where does that sort of area come into your research?
That definitely does. Again, we haven't yet rolled out this research yet, so I can't say for sure that does affect it or not. The other side to that as well, there's the blue light that they're getting from the monitors if they're playing many hours of the day, and especially into the late night or early morning. But it's also simply the stimulation from the games. Esports are, but they're made to be extremely stimulating, right? That's the hook of a lot of video games. And I would, without knowing the answer, I would guess that would probably have a much larger effect. But certainly that's something that's a very interesting avenue of and a line of research that we are also interested in here.
I would imagine the sheer adrenaline rush, right, from playing, exactly, and then trying to go to sleep immediately after that is going to be difficult.
Or vengeance. I want vengeance. One more game. I have to win a game before I go to sleep. I mean, that's me personally, but I think that's a lot of people.
That's how the games are designed, right? They're designed to get you to keep playing. right? It goes, there's nothing about the games that makes you think, all right, that's going to help you sleep 10 minutes afterwards. And that's that goes for basically every top esport title, right? There's nothing about them that they're not meant to put you to sleep. They're meant to do the exact opposite. So,
I mean, yeah, I've found out like when I was a gamer all my life, but now that I've gotten into playing CS:GO, I do find that the old habits from when I was younger of I'll stay up all night and play one more game is happening with the CS:GO because it's so much more stimulating to me than sitting there casually playing Halo or a one player game, Last of Us or anything, because you can just put that down, it's saved, it's done. But you want more, you need to improve continue your good form. Oh, that's 3 wins in a row. I'm on fire. I know it's 1 a.m. and I'm probably going to lose the next game because I can't keep my eyes open. But I mean, it's both for me. It's behind, I find it hard to stop.
Yeah.
So how are you going to get permission from players? Which sort of teams are you going to work with? How do you line that sort of stuff up?
That's kind of still to be organized for the most of it, but there are links here and there definitely are links here to get the access that we will need to do the studies, but that's still yet to be still for the most of it yet to be organized. We COVID also, I said it, also has impacted it to some degree, and we do have mitigation plans and kind of research that we're doing without participants in the meantime. But there are definitely, yeah, there are those links there.
But you're not going to suddenly go, okay, we'll drop the elite part.
No.
Brian volunteered. Let's see how the old guy who's not that good at CS:GO does. I mean, it is about elite performance. I mean, that's the point of the Lero Lab, right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, and the lab has a strong relationship with Logitech as well, which is a very strong relationship there, and have had kind of there has been lots of research performed on the elite guys. There's some good relationships there that have been established. So no, that is a strength of the Lero Lab, the relationships that are formed with some of the elite players and the elite teams. And again, that link with Logitech is vital there.
Because I'm actually using Logitech's Playmaster.gg platform. And I actually talked to Logitech about it a little bit because it's brilliant. My AWB performance in CS:GO has definitely improved. I'm still not good, but I can use it if I pick one up now. Because I'm just finding it's this kind of, I just practice the peek and the aim and the hold and the flick things. And I've definitely seen improvement. That was actually based on science from the lab there in Limerick, right? That there was part of your team worked with Logitech to produce that software.
Yes, yeah. And I haven't had much to do with that at all, but I know that so Mark Campbell and Adam Tothier are put in many, many hours into the Playmaster. And yeah, that a very large proportion. I'm not exactly sure how much, but I'm pretty sure the big bulk of it was from research here in the Esports Science Lab. Again, yeah, Mark Campbell and Adam Toth know a lot more about that than I do. But yeah, as far as I know, they've put in a ton of hours into that, and it's been something that has been developed here. So,
well, I do know both myself and Mark are terrible at the jump training. He's admitted that to me. He hates it too. I'm terrible at it.
Is he?
I think what's really great about this is how much collaboration you have between the esports industry and researchers, right? So I do a lot of non-esports gaming research as well. And we have sort of the opposite problem there, right? There's always this discussion about how the academic and industry side often kind of clash and don't really want to work together, at least here in the States. But I find that esports is very different, right? There seems to be this understanding of this mutually beneficial exchange, right? Like, if you know, we're talking about sleep deprivation or sleep restriction and esports performance among elite players, teams have a vested interest in wanting that information, right? And so supplying you with the participants and the access and resources because they benefit from that knowledge that you produce, right? To make sure that their players are living healthy lifestyles and going to have long, prosperous, competitive careers. So I think that's really exciting to me as a researcher.
Yeah, there's mutual benefit, isn't there? There's mutual benefit from both sides, and that has been, again, a strength of the lab here at Lero has been the kind of the real focus on that link between industry and academia. But yeah, especially as esports research is in its infancy there, it's there's so much mutual benefit that you'd be stupid not to kind of make the link there. Yeah.
But it's the whole thing about esports that they're change oriented, goal focused, over dynamic, over passionate, over enthusiastic. And it's one of those great things that you go, hey, do you want to work on this, mutual value? And they'll say yes. And they said, this is great. And they'll get engaged. And it's one of my favorite things about it, because we all have so much cool stuff in the Esport Research Network that we want to work with people. And it's a lot easier than if you're researching like marketing or accountancy or, social sciences is much harder to get a hold of. So for the second last thing, I'm just going to ask you, is there any sort of really cool projects that you can kind of maybe wink at, nudge? Is there anything that's really exciting that we should be watching out for?
Yeah, so there's the systematic review that I mentioned, which is currently in review at a journal. So hopefully all goes to plan. Look out for that in the coming months. We published. There's been quite a few published in the last few weeks, actually, publications in the lab. There was a dual systematic review looking at exercise performance and cognition. Oh, exercise. Sorry, I'm blanking.
Devio, have you had enough sleep?
Jeez. probably not. No, probably not. Play up all night playing Rocket League. So there you go.
Have a project on Rocket League, don't you? You've got another reason. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So this is actually a really, really exciting one. There's a big online kind of repository that exists for Rocket League. It's called ballchasing.com. And basically what it is if you play your game in Rocket League, you have the option to save your replay in a game. And there's mods that you can put into the game that automatically do that for you. You can then upload this replay to this website, which has an API, and that actually kind of converts the replays into in-game. It can give you the replay, but also converts into in-game data. And it's all put on a kind of public repository there. I think there's almost 16 million replays, currently on it for games in Rocket League. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? And to be honest, it's surprising to me that, as far as I know, nobody's really looked at tapping into that from an academic perspective. So what we've done is, and we've been piloting this kind of, we've looked at, we've downloaded a bunch of 1v1 Rocket League game data from different skill brackets with kind of two main outcomes there. It's using machine learning principles to understand, one, what predicts performance in these games, but two, what predicts skill within these games. We've been piloting this so far, but we have some kind of very very interesting and very somewhat head scratching findings that we've got to kind of work out exactly what's going on. But it seems like it's very interesting. And again, with the sheer amount of data that we can gather from this, something that's very, very exciting that we're doing right now. So.
I love the way that you've got this PhD that's wonderfully scientific and has loads of beautiful implications beyond esports and for esports. And then you also get to do this thing where you just light up and you go, oh, Rocket League, I love it. That's the best thing. I think that what Mark and Adam are doing down at the lab is really good, when you guys are able, so empowered to do all this cool stuff and, follow things that you're intellectually interested in, and also things that you're intellectually interested in, but also a bit more passionate about. And I think that's a very important component of academia, that sometimes you do projects that are important scientifically, and then sometimes you have your little pet projects that you go, I really want to know this, this is so cool. So my final question before Steph asks you one more, Tim, are you any good at Rocket League?
I like to think so. I like to think so. I I'm very, very proud to say that I recently cracked the top 100 in Ireland. So very, very proud.
Congratulations. That's very good.
Way more proud than I should be. It's not it's not that big of an accomplishment. There's not a hell of a lot of people playing Rocket League in Ireland at the moment. But I don't have to tell people that, you know.
I couldn't crack the top 100 in CSGO within a 2 kilometer radius in this city.
It sounds way more impressive than it is, but you know, I'll claim it for what it's worth. It's
I'm impressed,
and you know, and it's even better because it's exactly 100. So like, I'm no better than 100. I'm exactly 100. So yeah,
that's fantastic. Yeah. So our final question for you then, Tim, would be: what would you like to see other researchers work on topic-wise? What are things that you think we should be looking at? Right, like sleep is obviously really important. That's exciting, some cutting-edge stuff. And there's, you know, in general, a lot of focus on physiology and esports in recent times, right? So what would you like to see more resources and more investment in?
Yeah.
I mean, Rocket League, obviously.
Yeah, no, that's it.
Auto-ethnography on my time in the top 100 of the Irish Rocket League standings.
No, that's a fantastic question. I guess just from my research interests and from a very selfish kind of perspective, I would. It's a very good question. I would say travel, to be honest. It's a bit of a different one, but especially for LAN events, obviously no LAN events are happening right now. That's a lie. Limited LAN events are happening right now. They're getting better, or getting more frequent. But from just clips here and there that you hear of from pro players and little tidbits of information that you hear they're arriving, they're traveling from the States to Germany, a lot of the teams anyway the day before a competition. And some of the top teams are much better at it than others, where they might have a boot camp a lot closer. But a lot of them, there's no kind of method to how they're going to go about it. There's no timing of, okay, we're going to book these flights for this time because we've got to adapt to this time zone. And there's a lot of very good and interesting research in that kind of realm within traditional sports and also within industry. And I just don't think there's any kind of... That's that world, and then there's esports, and there's no link there right now, as far as I can see. And I think that would be really kind of useful, especially for teams that maybe don't have the resources to get over many weeks beforehand and boot camp in the city or so on, and have a limited time. They can only travel 4 days before competition or 3 days before competition. Being able to optimize that, there's a huge potential there to maximize performance just by scheduling better. And yeah, again, from what I've seen anecdotally, that's not great right now.
I mean, that's very interesting that the bigger teams with more resources immediately have an advantage that they can boot camp in the city. Well, Tim, this has been fantastic. Thank you very much for being here. If anybody wants to find out more about the Lero Esports Science Research Lab in Limerick and more of Tim's social media, it's down below this video. Thank you very much, Tim. Thanks for being on here.
Thank you. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Steph.